Welcome to installment 283 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss positive commandment 245, the law of kinyan, governing all the laws of acquisition of an object. As we have discussed, the Rambam defines this biblical command as giving the parameters and the exact description about when a transaction is concluded according to Jewish law. What finalizes the transfer of property or transfer of possessions when there is a sale? The Rambam quotes as a biblical source for this commandment the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which states, "V'chi simkeru mimkar lamisecha," when you sell something to your friend, and the verse continues, "Oikonu miyada misecha," or you buy something from the hand of your friend. And the Rambam quotes the Talmud, which asks, why does the verse specify that you have bought it from the hand of your friend? It should say, just as the beginning of the verse, just as you sold something to your friend, or you bought something from your friend. Why does it say, miyada misecha, from the hand of your friend? And the Talmud explains that this comes to teach us a specific type of kinyan, an act of acquisition. And the verse states you should take it from the hand of your friend to tell you that the object must be moved from his hand to your hand. In other words, there must be meshicha. There must be a physical transfer of the property. It must literally be pulled into your possession. However, the Rambam points out that this is not a biblical requirement, that by the law of the Torah, it would be sufficient if money is given. And even before the actual meshicha, the pulling of the object, has taken place, nevertheless, the transfer has occurred according to biblical law. However, our sages established that in addition, there should be this meshicha, pulling of the object. And until that happens, it has not changed hands. And the Rambam brings a Talmudic proof for this, as the Talmud compares the act of buying with the act of handing something over to a watchman for safekeeping. The law is that a watchman has certain responsibilities as to the extent to which he must watch an object which is placed under his care. In some cases, he is responsible for its loss. And the Talmud asks, does the object come into the hands and the possession of the watchman, that he becomes responsible for it? And the Talmud states that just as our sages established the act of meshicha, pulling an object, in the case of buying, that it is officially bought only after being physically pulled, so too our sages established the same law in the case of shemrin for a watchman, that it does not come into the possession of the watchman until he pulls it. What does the Rambam hope to show from this Talmudic statement? That the Talmud says that just as our sages established this law of pulling for a buyer, we see that this requirement, even though it is traced back by the Talmud itself to a verse, miyada misecha, from his hand, and therefore we see it must be physically moved from his hand, nevertheless, although it is hinted to in the Chumash, it is not a biblical requirement, only a rabbinic requirement. As the Talmud says, our sages established pulling it for the case of a buyer. And so too says the Rambam, the other forms of acquisition that we know apply to movable objects, such as hagbah, lifting the object, or mesira, telling the person, for example, that he can take charge of the object, or if the prospective buyer physically takes hold of the object and acts as if it is his in the presence of the seller. Any of these cases also, under certain conditions, will replace meshicha, and they will be the rabbinic act of acquisition to finalize the sale. This entire discussion, however, is only in the case of movable objects, known as metaltalin. Objects which are immovable, such as land or a house, are governed by different laws of acquisition. The Rambam tells us that there are two biblical laws of acquisition and no rabbinic laws. Whatever the biblical law is, as indicated by verses in the Chumash, that is sufficient for acquisition of something which is immovable. Which are these acts? Shtar, writing out a document indicating the sale, or chazaka, when the buyer of the property does an act of improvement, or otherwise shows his possession by changing something in the land or in the house, this will indicate his possession. The Rambam doesn't mention kesef, money, in, as he does in his legal code, that there are three different types of acquisition. Kesef, shtar, or chazaka. That money, that Rambam already mentioned, is a biblical form of acquisition. And therefore it will apply not only to movable objects, but to immovable objects as well. The details of this law that Rambam tells us are discussed in the first chapter of the Tractate Kiddushin, Baba Metzia, chapters 4 and 8, and chapters 3 through 7 of Baba Basra. The Rambam states in his legal code, in the laws of Tmura, that we must learn something from the laws of the Torah. We must try to apply it to ourselves. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita took one of the details regarding the laws of acquisition and explained an amazing lesson for our life. The Rebbe pointed out that among the differences between acquisition of movable objects and of land or immovable objects is the number of types of acquisition which are possible. As we mentioned, land can be acquired in three different ways: by money, by a document, or by changing something in the property or the house. So there are three ways by immovable objects. When it comes to movable objects, in general there are two. There is first of all money, which is the biblical requirement, and then there's the rabbinic requirement of meshicha, or pulling the object. The other ones that Rambam mentions are all subcategories of the second rabbinic requirement of moving it. It can be moved by being pulled, or can be lifted, and so on. Therefore, we see for movable objects, there are two different ways, whereas in immovable objects, there are three. The significance of the number two and the number three can be viewed in the light of the Kabbalistic and the doctrine brought in Chassidic philosophy of the world of Tohu, the world of confusion, and the world of Tikkun, which is the more permanent world, which is the source for this world. The world of Tohu, of confusion, was something which was impermanent. It was a previous step in the creation of this world. However, there was such revelation there, and insufficient means to contain and express and internalize this revelation, that this world fell apart, known as the Kabbalistic doctrine of Shviras HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels, since this world could not exist. Later on, meaning at a subsequent state of development, came the world of Tikkun, otherwise known as the world of Atzilus, where the light could be contained and could be expressed. And therefore this world and all the subsequent stages of creation came from this world of Tikkun, where things could exist in a more settled and a more useful fashion. This is also the difference between the number two and the number three. The number two applies to the higher world of Tohu, which was impermanent, because it had only two different kavin, two different types of revelation, which were in opposition to each other. However, the lower world, the later state of development, had three different kavin, three different ones. There was one on the right, so to speak, one on the left, meaning a revealed mode and a concealing mode, and then there was one in the middle, which reconciled and combined and fused together the best aspects of both of these two types of expression. And therefore, this lower world was able to exist permanently. Since it had three different means of expression, this created a solid basis by means of which it could forever exist. And we see something similar in the beginning of the Tractate Kiddushin regarding divorce laws and marriage laws, that to marry a woman, there are three different acts which can be used. However, when can the marriage contract be dissolved? Only in two different ways, either through death of the husband or through a writ of divorce. Here also we see the difference between three and two. In order to build, to make something permanent, we have three different ways. Just as in the world of Tikkun, in the world where things had a permanent existence, there are were three different modes of expression. And so too, this is the explanation of why land has three different methods of acquisition. Because land is something which is immovable, which does not change. On the other hand, the marriage contract can be terminated in one of two ways. Just as the impermanent world of Tohu has two different opposing means of expression, and as movable objects representing impermanence have two different means of acquisition, either money or by means of meshicha, pulling it. And the Rebbe explained that this is a lesson for us in terms of our service of Hashem. The idea of movable objects represents the beginning of a person's service of Hashem, where things are still changeable and the person is not settled and has not become fully internalized with this which he is trying to accomplish. Later on comes the level of karka, of land, something which is a permanent, immovable object, which represents a person's service of Hashem once it has become part of him, once it has become internalized, an eternal method of serving God. Therefore, we see first, in Sefer HaMitzvahs, is mentioned the idea of Avedas Arai, a temporary sort of service, corresponding to the idea of acquiring movable objects, which suggests impermanence. Later, the Rambam discusses the law of acquiring land, which represents a person's permanent service of Hashem, once it has become internalized and once it has become solid and steady. However, one might think that since things must go in order, first he must serve God in a way which is not internalized, and he should just try to grab different things even and not necessarily try to internalize them, that this will all become later. This will all come later. But the Rebbe said we can look at a law from the Rambam's legal code which indicates that there is no problem in going the other way around. The law is that if a person buys land in one of the three methods of acquisition, automatically any movable objects associated with that land will also be automatically purchased, and one does not need a separate act of kinyan, of acquisition, in order to acquire the movable objects. This is known as kinyan agav karka, that once you have acquired the land, you acquire all the objects which go along with the land. And so too spiritually, the Rebbe said, once we work on making our service of Hashem something permanent and something internalized and something settled within us, which is the idea of land, then we will automatically have all of the other levels as well. We will acquire, so to speak, the movable objects, the impermanent levels leading up to our solid, steady service of God. And this is even on a spiritual level, when it comes to purifying godly sparks in the supernal worlds, that we do not have to work on purifying sparks from the higher world of Tohu. What we have to work on is the world of Tikkun. And once we do that in a proper way, automatically all sparks of godliness will be purified, and godliness will be revealed in this world and in all of the worlds.